The scripture today for Pentecost Sunday comes from Acts chapter 2, verse 21 verses. Acts chapter 2, beginning with verse 1. When Pentecost Day arrived, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound from heaven like the howling of a fierce wind filled the entire house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be individual flames of fire alighting on each of them. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit enabled them to speak. There were pious Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. When they heard this sound, a crowd gathered. They were mystified because everyone heard them speaking in their native languages. They were surprised and amazed, saying, "Look, aren't all the people who are speaking Galileans, every one of them? How then can each of us hear them speaking in our native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, as well as residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the regions of Libya, bordering Cyrene, the visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the mighty works of God in our own languages." They were all surprised and bewildered. Some ask each other, "What does it all mean?" Others jeered at them, saying, "They are full of new wine." Peter stood with the other 11 apostles. He raised his voice and declared, "Judeans and everyone living in Jerusalem, know this. Listen carefully to my words. These people aren't drunk, as you suspect. After all, it's only 9 o'clock in the morning. Rather, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young will see visions. Your elders will dream dreams. Even upon my servants, men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will cause wonders to occur in heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and a cloud of smoke. The sun will be changed into darkness and the moon will be changed into blood before the great and spectacular day of the Lord comes. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. The day of Pentecost, with all the production and staging of a made-in-Hollywood movie, the book of Acts invites us into the experience. Listen as the sound of the mighty rushing wind fills the room. Feel it gush against your face. Picture the tongues of fire resting on the heads of all the believers. Be astonished, along with the believers from all the regions who hear their own languages being spoken clearly. If we listen carefully enough, we may hear a message spoken in words that might have meaning to us this morning as well. This is an event that caused all those in that time and place to turn aside and ask, "What does it mean?" As did Moses when he encountered the burning bush in the backside of the wilderness. Maybe stepping into this experience will leave us asking the same question. What does it all mean? Or maybe we will have questions of our own, new questions, specific to our own understanding and experience. I have one. Where's the dove? The narrative reports wind, fire, miraculous linguistic abilities, boldness and courage of the believers. But no dove. If Pentecost is the falling of the Holy Spirit upon all believers, if all the resources of heaven seem to be loosed and called forth to stage this powerful event, where's the dove? Have we not been conditioned to associate the Holy Spirit with a dove? In the creation narrative, we are told that the earth was formless and void, and darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was moving, or hovering, or as some versions say, brooding like a bird. The authoritative Hebrew text, the Talmud, even specifies that the Spirit of God hovered over the surface of the waters like a dove. The angel Gabriel told Mary in the Gospel of Luke that the Holy Spirit would come upon her, the Most High would overshadow her. Christian art through the centuries has depicted this hovering presence that came over Mary as a dove. Once we get to the baptism of Jesus, the text is explicit. Here the Spirit of God shows up, and this time each of the gospel writers is clear. Like a dove. It definitely leaves me wondering who the event planner was for the day of Pentecost. It leaves me with the question, where's the dove? We've come to associate the Holy Spirit with a dove. With Pentecost being the falling of the Holy Spirit on all the believers, you might reasonably expect there to be a dove included in the story. Personally, I think including a dove might have been more than appropriate on the day of Pentecost. It was, after all, the birthing of the church. If the Spirit hovered over the waters at the birthing of creation, if the Spirit hovered over Mary at Gabriel's visitation and birthing announcement, it would have been in keeping with the symbolism to find a dove hovering over the birthing of the church, right? Doves seem to have developed that reputation as birthing birds through the ages. In her book, Consider the Birds, Debbie Blue explains a lesser-known fact about doves. A dove, she says, is in fact a pigeon by another name. Pigeon is the French word and dove is the English word. There are a great variety of birds English speakers call either pigeons or doves. We tend to call the more delicate and smaller members of the family doves, but the names, she says, are interchangeable. Interesting, maybe, but what does that have to do with the Holy Spirit? Well, Blue says there are a lot of birds that want to avoid us, who are too wild for us, or who need space. You could call them unfriendly birds. But pigeons, they want to be close to us. They are where we are, in some of the worst places we have made, our neglected projects and abandoned buildings. And they're also in some of the best places, art museums, parks, Rome's piazzas. They won't leave us alone. Doesn't that sound familiar? Doesn't that sound like the Holy Spirit Jesus promised, a companion who would always be alongside us? So when I think of Pentecost being the falling of the Holy Spirit on all believers, I have to wonder, where's the dove? Instead of flames resting on the heads of all the believers, why not a great swarm of doves come descending with their wings flapping, filling the air with a great swoosh? Picture something like a scene from Alfred Hitchcock's The Birds, except friendly birds who just want to be with you. After all, it sounds like the scene in Jerusalem got pretty wild. Adding a dove to the account might have also carried a message about the call of the expected character of the church that was being birthed at Pentecost. It was a dove that was sent out by Noah in search of dry land as the floodwaters were subsiding. A mission to which the dove consented without protest or concern for its personal interest. What an image the dove would have made for the kind of loyalty that would be expected for the newly born church. So say it with me. Where's the dove? Say it with me. Where's the dove? Don't you wonder why the familiar symbol of the Holy Spirit is missing at Pentecost? Why didn't the birthing bird show up at what has come to be known as the birthing of the church? You should expect there would be a dove. Maybe that's at least partly the explanation of the absence of the dove at Pentecost. We expect it. It seems that the Holy Spirit is full of surprises. Just when we think we have figured things out, there's an unexpected turn of events. Just when we think we know what is coming, something new happens. It seems necessary that we be reminded that the Spirit is like the wind. We can hear it blowing, but we don't know all there is to know about it. We don't know where the wind comes from or where it is going. The same is true of the Holy Spirit and those born of the Spirit. Always moving, always changing, always surprising. The Spirit often appears where and how we are least expecting. The Spirit might be, but not necessarily be, a snow white dove. But be sure of this. The Spirit has come and dwells with us and within us. Like the common pigeon or dove, so underfoot is the Spirit that we may fail to notice her presence. I had just given the name of this week's sermon, Where's the Dove, to Nanette for the bulletin before Ivy and I went out for a walk. And we hadn't gotten to the end of the block before I heard it. The soft, familiar cooing. Looking up on the utility wires, I saw two doves sitting side by side. I quickly snapped a picture on my phone and texted it to Nanette with the caption, "Found them." So familiar that we walked past them without even noticing. That would not happen at Pentecost. There was no dove. How often might the Spirit, like those common, ordinary doves, be routinely ignored? Maybe the dove, so common, found wherever life is, that we don't recognize it or necessarily respect it. Maybe there isn't a dove at Pentecost because it takes something a little more out of the ordinary to assure the coming of the Spirit is recognized and causes people to turn aside and asking people, what is it all about? Maybe the falling of the Spirit on all believers at the birthing of the church needed something that was a little bolder, stronger, less vulnerable than a dove. Doves were a common sacrificial offering in Scripture. It was partly due to the purity and innocence associated with a dove. It also had to do with their abundance and how easily they could be caught and killed. It was also their abundance and vulnerability that through history also put doves atop the menu throughout Europe for many years. This vulnerability seems to have been a hereditary trait of what the dove is depicted to have birthed. Think about it. The dove, as we have seen, was thought to be the bird brooding over the waters of creation. And what has humankind done to the creation that was birthed by the Spirit? Then there was the dove hovering over Mary at the angel's announcement of the birth of the Savior, whose life also proved to be vulnerable in the hands of the empire. But the birthing of the church which is being birthed by the Spirit of God at Pentecost, is a resurrection people. At the dawning breath of the church God breathed into the church, we are promised that the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Would there be attacks? Absolutely. Would there be martyrdom? Yes. Would there be sacrifice? Undoubtedly. But the church is a resurrection people. After all the attacks, after all the fiery trials, the church is alive and whole, the living body of Christ. So don't think dove. Think phoenix, the mythical bird who is reborn through fire. No, the dove seems too tame for people filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. On a day like this, we need more than a dove. We need an image with all the power of a rushing mighty wind. We need an ever-burning but unconsumed fire that kindles and fuels a spark of the divine Spirit within us. At Pentecost, we need a wild, raging presence of the Holy Spirit in our midst. Come, Holy Spirit, come.